Joining us this morning on the line, Senator Brad Hawkins of the 12th Legislative District. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. Hey, we're heading into fall, and that typically means you're gearing up for your annual listening tour.
Yes, I'm very excited about it. This will be my fifth annual listening tour for the 12th District. It's something that I started soon after I got first elected to the state Senate. And it's been great. You know, the response has been very positive and very kind of humbling in terms of people's interest in this. But basically, it started with the idea that the 12th district is very large geographically, one of the largest legislative districts in the state, reaches into four different counties. And the listening tour idea kind of gives me an opportunity to travel throughout the district and hear directly from constituents. And I get a lot of legislative ideas. Some of those actually turn into different pieces of legislation and budget items. And we could talk about some of the past examples of that, but it's really a great opportunity to connect with people where they are. Last year we did it as a virtual tour. This year we had planned to do a virtual kind of and hybrid sort of half in person, half virtual to kind of accommodate everybody. But with this recent mask mandate by the governor, we kind of pulled it back and went entirely to virtual. So my fifth annual listening tour will be held September 14th and 15th. We meet with groups and individuals basically by scheduled appointment, either by Zoom or traditional phone calls, conference calls, those sort of things. And I'm really looking forward to doing it again this year. We do it every fall because if we do get legislative ideas, budget requests, and things like that, it gives me a chance to kind of get all my ducks in a row before the session starts to be in the best position to advocate for our district. But a lot of times people just want to meet with me to share their thoughts, concerns, or feedback about state government, and I welcome that as well.
What sort of capacity will you have for those meetings?
Well, good capacity. In the past, we've done like these large town halls via Zoom, but that gets a little unwieldy, you know, in terms of having to process that and mute everybody. So I basically have two full days of time slots every 15, 20 minutes and groups. And for example, the Chelan City Council or the Manson School District or the Methow Valley Citizens Council, different groups, for example, if your listener audience, you know, they may want to have something that they want to share with me before session and to kind of get me updated on what they're doing. So we basically have marathon meetings those days of Zoom meetings, and we have a staff from Olympia. Now, when we've met in person, the staff from Olympia come with us and travel with me throughout the district. And but the staff in this case will be participating virtually, but not only my legislative assistant and my communication staff within my office, but we have issue specialists as well in the legislature that we try to connect with for different meetings. And people do bring a lot of questions. Sometimes we can get those questions answered right there. Sometimes we need to do research, but we always get back to people, and people are quite surprised at how promptly and how detailed of answers we get to their questions. So, you know, it's a neat opportunity. And when there have been examples in the past, and there have, because I've been doing this for 5 years now, when people come to me with legislative ideas or budget requests, to actually now look back a few years later and see some of those things that got accomplished as a result of the listening tour, you know, that's pretty special.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. Well, here we are just right on the cusp of September, a few months away from the next legislative session. What are some of the things that you're either working on or mulling around for that particular session?
Well, it'll be really interesting. You know, in the past several weeks, but in particular, the past several days with the governor's recent vaccine mandates and mask mandates, we've received almost an overwhelming amount of communications from the district. So for example, my office within the 48 hours, the 2 days following the governor's recent mandates last week, we received 2,500 email communications just in 2 days, and a number of phone calls. So basically, one of the challenges that I've experienced during this pandemic is just trying to explain to people how we could even get here and kind of walk people through that. The governor, you know, we do have an Emergency Powers Act in the state, and how that the governor has declared an emergency for that. That emergency declaration is still in place. So then he's able to issue these orders, and are these mandates enforceable? And can we reform emergency powers? And can you call a special session? And so all of those different things, lately I've just been kind of walking people through, trying to explain the situation that we're in right now. I think when we do get back in this session, Senate Republicans in particular, including myself, will continue to make efforts to try to reform the state's Emergency Powers Act. But in order to get into a session, we would need a two-thirds vote to actually get us into a special session, unless the governor calls a special session. I don't think that's going to happen. So looking ahead towards January, we're really going to need to get a majority of the legislators in support of reforming some of our emergency powers, updating a very old emergency powers statute that never anticipated an emergency like it's being applied right now with COVID. And so I think that issue is probably top on people's mind, as well as a whole host of issues related to clean energy, transportation, agriculture, taxation. The long-term care issue is a big issue. There's a new tax related to that people are struggling with. The implementation of this capital gains income tax, will it be upheld in court? Will it not? You know, all these other things, kind of the police reforms, you know, that were recently passed that really need to be clarified and adjusted, if not outright repealed. You know, there's just a whole host of things. And we only have 2 months for this session. So we alternate between longer and shorter sessions. So I don't know how we're going to get it all done in such a short amount of time, but hopefully we can make some progress on some very important things.
Are there any of your colleagues on the other side of the aisle that are interested in reforming the governor's powers? Seriously?
Well, that's interesting. I do believe there are some. For example, I sponsored a bill. I co-sponsored the bill. It was actually prime sponsored by a Republican that I serve with and a Democrat from Issaquah. So there's bipartisan support to do this. That's been documented. And basically, what we're saying is currently the state law is that we have an Emergency Powers Act. It allows the governor to declare emergencies and then issue proclamations and mandates in response to those emergencies. But it doesn't really have a time period on how long the emergency can be. And obviously that's something that we think, many of us think need to be reformed. And the bill that I co-sponsored last year would have said, okay, governor, you basically have 30 days that you can declare an emergency and issue these short-term mandates. But after that, you really need to call the legislature back into session so we can take a vote on whether to extend for another 30 days or 45 days. I think that would have really helped. And to your question, Jeff, I do think there is support to do that, although I think many of the Democratic members don't want to appear to be undermining Governor Inslee, don't want to embarrass him in any way by sending this executive powers reform to his desk, because ultimately Governor Inslee would need to sign it. To me, it's at this point, reforming our emergency powers is not really about Governor Inslee. It's about who all of his successors will be in modernizing this state law so that it can apply to a pandemic or something else that frankly none of us anticipated before. So really, yeah. I'm trying not even to make it about Governor Inslee. I would think Governor Inslee himself would see value in reforming this outdated law. But so far, I think he's just enjoyed being able to issue all these orders and not having the legislature in session to push back on him.
Mm-hmm. Senator Brad Hawkins with the upcoming fifth annual listening tour for folks, your constituents who are interested in participating. What's the best way to get plugged in?
Well, the best way, you can find out all the information on my website, which is senatorbradhawkins.org. We just sent out a lot of information just in an email newsletter yesterday about it with more details. But also, you can just email my office, which is brad.hawkins@leg.wa.gov. Again, that's brad.hawkins@leg.wa.gov. And we can help find an appointment on that day that works for you and your group, and start collecting feedback. It'll be great. I'm really thankful to have the 5th annual this year, and I'm very confident that next year we'll be able to go all around the district in person, face to face again. That's my hope, and you know, that's my expectation for next year's 6th annual. And someday, Jeff, I hope maybe I'll be like a 25th annual listening to her. That's my hope.
There you go. Well, I know it's a productive time for you. We'll be sure to continue to put the word out there for the 5th annual listening tour, September 14th and 15th with Senator Brad Hawkins. Thank you so much for your time and making a community connection this morning. We do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Have a great day.